The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Asylum seekers who may have mental illnesses or are victims of human trafficking are currently not screened in asylum protocols. Migrants with these vulnerabilities are intended to be flagged within 30 days of arrival. But this has been quietly dropped as the system struggles to cope with demand. Craig Hughes, political editor with the Irish Daily Mail, joins me. Craig, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what used to happen?
So previously, when asylum seekers arrived in this country, since kind of 2021, a vulnerability assessment would be conducted. And now this would screen for, among things, like mental illnesses, whether someone had been the victim of torture, rape, things like that. And I guess that would have an impact on the location that they are sent to, particularly at the moment where we were sending single men onto the street. Now, because of, quote, extreme pressure on the asylum process, which we have seen buckling before our eyes on the streets of the capital here, this process has been halted since March. A new €6 million tender has been put out by the government in a bid to get a private operator to come in and do it. But in effect, what this means is that since March, these assessments have not been conducted. And why this is most important now is because we're simply sending all single men onto the street where we don't have capacity, whereby really the government should be screening those people, and where someone is extremely vulnerable or has a mental illness, they shouldn't be going to that setting.
Who used to do these assessments?
So this was done by staff at the International Protection Office, but obviously given their workload at the moment, that is no longer taking place.
Were they mental health professionals or civil servants?
I'm not sure on that detail, Pat, to be honest, but I just know that it was being done by IPASS, and that will now be outsourced. A €6 million contract has been put out to tender, and they're hoping it'll be in place by the end of the year. But it kind of leaves a very precarious situation in the meantime.
Now, if you have so many people arriving pretty much every day, many of them crossing the border from Northern Ireland, they're not being assessed at all in this way. So whatever their history might be, some might have... I mean, are they still assessing for a criminal past, for instance?
There is, of course, the European database that people are cross-checked against, and that is still happening, is my understanding in some cases. Although we did report in the Irish Daily Mail a couple of weeks ago about the case of a Iraqi man who arrived here, and we saw details of how he was convicted of a sexual assault case in the UK, and it wasn't flagged to the relevant authorities here. So there have been concerns around the level of data sharing that goes on. The government is kind of at pains to say that all steps are taken. And I guess what you're going to see today then, and you notice then from the Taoiseach and the bulletin, is again a much it's a really strong movement by the government to make Ireland a much less attractive place for people who are seeking international protection, because the indication is that they feel they can't cope with the numbers that are coming at the moment, and the only way that they can, I guess, stem the numbers is to make Ireland less attractive now. And whether that is from reducing the level of entitlements, and you heard the Taoiseach there saying that there would be a full review of entitlements, and I guess what he's getting at there is introducing a mechanism whereby people in direct provision have to pay for their accommodation after a certain time. Or you could also see a scenario similar with Ukrainians, where the amount of time you can stay there would be time limited. I guess they're the options that will be on the table for them.
And we also hear that they are going to level the playing field for Ukrainians, that within 3 months the allowances will be, I suppose, at a European level, at a typical European level.
What you're going to have for Ukrainians is, just to explain for your listeners, at the moment Ukrainians are here under the subject of a European-wide temporary protection order, which gave them a kind of a special status. So if you come here as a Ukrainian, now we've changed it subsequently, but for the ones who are here, I guess since before the start of this year, they would get a €232 a week in welfare. this will drop now to €38.80 for all Ukrainians who've been here under these kind of new measures. And this was somewhat controversial at the time. I mean, you had some people saying that we shouldn't have had a kind of a two-tier system for refugees, but it was something that the government kind of stood steadfastly behind, saying that, you know, Ukraine was a special case. We never had something like this on the shores of Europe before. But I guess what that might do as well, I guess perhaps the hope would in the Bells government might be, is that it'll perhaps incentivize some Ukrainians to leave this jurisdiction and thereby
or perhaps work. I mean, if you were a couple here and you had children, you'd get, each of you would presumably get the 232 plus an allowance, a social welfare allowance for each of your children plus child benefit. There might not be much incentive to go to work.
Yeah, but I think also when you drill down into the numbers that work from the Ukrainians here, I think it is quite high among those who can work. You know, when you kind of eliminate ones who might be, you know, single mothers who would have childcare obligations as well, I think the rates are quite high. So I don't think that there's no clear evidence of, you know, kind of any sort of abuse of the welfare system amongst Ukrainians. I mean, you talk to people, there is quite a an eagerness for them to get to work, and we know that we're crying out for workers. But I guess what this will do is ensure that there are kind of no abuses, that there are no incentives in that regard.
Now, the concern, I suppose, is that there are people who desperately need some sort of mental health care, who might have been traumatized, might be the victims of sexual attack during wartime, that may have been tortured, that may have been trafficked and are suffering all sorts of PTSD. And those new arrivals since March are simply not being assessed. And then, on the other hand, there are those who might be dangerous who are not being assessed. So all of this is going to be long-fingered now until that tender is fulfilled, and they think that might be at the end of the year.
Yes, and I mean, if you just look at the words in our paper today from NASC, the Migrant and Refugee Centre, you know, they told our paper that they're, quote, gravely concerned by the development, and that it was crucial to a person's safety and health and arrival. And I, of course, that does extend, as I think you, as you rightly say, to perhaps the safety of the public, because, you know, if someone is suffering from acute mental illness, they can be both a danger to themselves and the public. And I mean, this is an obligation under EU law that the government is not adhering to. So, I mean, it really is a significant issue for them.
Yeah. And meantime, we hear more tents, almost 50 tents have popped up along the borrowing from Raglan Road, along the Enchanted Way, along the Grand Canal.
Yeah, and I mean, this goes back to your conversation with the Taoiseach yesterday. I mean, he was quite clear that this won't be allowed to stand. So, I mean, they've kind of made themselves a hostage to fortune there, in a sense that, you know, if there's a situation whereby any encampment is let go for more than a week, I would say that there will be intense pressure on him directly, because he has said that this is a Team Ireland effort, and he is the head of the government. So that is a very big challenge for him. But I think one of the biggest differences I've noted in the change between Simon Harris, whom Taoiseach, and that of his predecessor, Leo Varadkar, is a real hardening of the government's position around migration. So, he's been in office a very short time, but that'll be one key metric, or one very obvious metric, I think, for people, because it's something that we see on our streets every day of the week. That'll be one very obvious metric that he'll be judged by.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Craig Hughes, political editor with the Daily Mail. Some of the comments coming in: what happens when people are deemed to have mental health problems going forward? The system for people having such issues is already bulging at the seams, with teenagers experiencing severe mental health problems being turned away from hospitals because of having nowhere to send them. A truly frightening prospect for them. That's from Anne. The whole problem goes back to the start of the war in Ukraine. Everyone in government thought the war would last for just a few weeks, and then everyone would go home. Nobody thought it would last.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.